Welcome to the Lions Den University Report. This program brings you a behind-the-scenes look at the spiritual life on today's university and college campuses. Now here's your host, Glenn Bailey. The following program was previously broadcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Lions Den University Report. And it's exciting for me, these particular series of interviews at the University of California at Berkeley. This was my alma mater many years ago now. And it's been the first time to come back in about 20, 25 years and to see the changes. Those were dramatic days. I was involved with the Christian World Liberation Front, a Christian organization that was radical in promoting Christ as some of the other radical groups were active. But some people might ask, you know, I jokingly call Berkeley the Christian college I went to, but some people would ask, you know, how can there be Christians at Berkeley? Are there Christians at Berkeley? And there, when I was here in the early 70s, there were at least 500 evangelical Christians. There were 17 staff of Campus Crusade for Christ. We had the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, the Navigators, and a variety of other groups, including the group that I was involved with, the Christian World Liberation Front. And God continues to have his salt placed in strategic places to lift up the light of Christ. And interestingly, the logo of Berkeley says, "Let the light shine." We trust the light of Jesus Christ would continue to shine here and people would be drawn to him. I have the privilege at this broadcast to interview a professor in chemical engineering here at the University of California at Berkeley, Jeff Reimer. And Jeff, welcome to today's program.
Thank you, Glenn. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And you're in chemical engineering. How long have you been a professor here on campus?
I started here, Glenn, in 1982, and I've been here pretty much the whole time since. So I started as an assistant professor and worked my way up the ladder.
Great, great. And I also understand right now you're leading up the Christian Faculty and Staff Fellowship. How did you get involved with that, and how has that developed over the years?
Right. We meet every Friday at noon over lunch, and the agenda is usually a book reading. And so we'll have a pre-assigned reading material, and we'll come to discuss it. My favorite of the books that we've read was by Dallas Willard, and he's a USC philosophy professor whom you may know. Right now we're reading a book called The Call by Oz Guinness. And so we'll take a chapter, we'll read it ahead of time, and that will be the focus of our discussion. And then every third or fourth Friday will be fellowship only, and we just have a good time and relax and enjoy each other's company.
Great. Well, that's good to hear that's going on here. And most students go through their university experience without ever having anyone knowing of any of their professors are committed Christians. And it's good to know that you're active here. And now have you offered some programs on campus or been involved in outreach on campus in terms of lifting up the message of Christ?
Two things recently, the answer is yes, and two things recently that might be of interest to your listeners. One is a forum that was sponsored by Campus Crusade this spring semester on Who is Jesus? And we were asked, there were three speakers, we were asked to describe in our own words the answer to the question, who is Jesus? And then after that, the three of us were given an opportunity to answer questions from the audience and so forth. And it was a delightful, delightful time for me to affirm my faith in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, my personal relationship with Jesus, and my own spiritual background. That was just quite delightful for me. And the students had many, many interesting and very hard questions. For example, Glenn, one of the questions was, can you identify and describe a specific event in your life when you felt the presence of Jesus, and how was that presence manifest? Mm. And it was, those were the kinds of questions. And then, of course, there were the usual questions of how do you know the Bible is real, and these kinds of questions that are more common. But it was a lot of fun. Campus Crusade collected response cards from the students, and almost all of them were very favorable, and the students wanted to see more of this. So that's certainly one aspect. And then a second one is that graduate students have their own Christian group here called Veritas, and I'm a sort of a regular speaker at that group, usually at least once a semester. And that's always a lot of fun because the graduate students is a smaller community, and many of them I know from the College of Chemistry and elsewhere. And so that was a lot of fun also.
And now you gave us a tough question. You were asked, but you didn't give us your answer to it. What was your answer when you were asked about that personal involvement of Jesus Christ when you experienced him, especially in your Christian walk?
I recounted two events at that time, one way back in graduate school when I was faced with a particularly difficult and problematic experimental problem in my thesis research. And I had been working on this for some weeks and making no progress and was pretty close to wit's end. And although I should have done this earlier, of course, Glenn, what I decided to do was just commit this to the Lord and begin a really tough regimen of prayer in support of that experimental research. And shortly after that, I had a dream while I was sleeping how to assemble and put together this experiment. And I got up. I had an apple. I walked to my office, set up the experiment in the lab, and it worked.
Mm.
And that's certainly one of the two I recalled. And the other, which I mentioned previously, is that I have begun to pray for students that are in my undergraduate classes using pictures that I take of them and try to pray for them as individuals and see the changes that I can make in my relationship to them and in my ability to teach them well. And really, I started that a couple of years ago, and I received just last year the campus-wide Distinguished Teaching Award. And I have no doubt about it, and I have said this to anyone and everyone, that it's not because I'm a great teacher. It's because I committed my teaching to Christ first, and this was the result of it.
Well, that's amazing. So being a Christian has affected even how you teach your students and how you relate to them then.
Yes, absolutely. And especially the more I know individually about a student, the better I'm able to pray for them. And so, for example, it's not sufficient to know that a student, let's say, is from Charleston, South Carolina, or some other town. It's you have to know them personally and individually so that that prayer can be meaningful for them. What are the issues in their life, and how can Christ be manifest in response to those issues, either by me or some other source?
So when you have a personal relationship with God, you want to involve him in all of your life, in essence, and teaching is part of that. And do you pray before class? Do you have, is prayer, you know, a significant part of your life?
I do pray before class. Prayer is a significant part of my life, and yet I don't do enough of it. It's interesting, though, Glenn, you mentioned one of the questions a student asked at that forum was, do I talk to Jesus? And that may have been motivated by some of the recent press about the President Bush. The answer to that question is not in the cartoon sense of a dialogue in that sense, but the more time I spend in prayer, the more time when I'm alone, especially walking on campus, there is definitely a conversation going on about who I am, what I'm doing, and how I'm reflecting the Lordship of Christ in my life and how I'm reflecting heaven on earth to the people around me. And that is a dialogue, that is a conversation. And I think students were surprised at that.
Great. And so prayer is very important. Has your spiritual life been on a pretty much a constant plane? Were you a Christian early in life, a follower of Christ, or have there been times of change and growth, particularly in your faith?
Yes, absolutely. I grew up in a household that attended a church regularly, but at that era, what happened, this was in the late 60s and early 70s, is the church I had grown up and been a part of and had been confirmed in became very liberal both theologically and politically. And I sort of fell into an apostasy for a while in those early college years. And I had the opportunity to rededicate myself to the Lord at the end of my college years and the beginning of graduate school. And that was a very special moment for me. That was the time of my life when I took my Christian faith and Christianity intellectually seriously by looking at the Bible critically and in a scholarly fashion with a lot of resources. And that's the time when I started to grow by leaps and bounds spiritually. And those are the great times for me when I am deeply involved in Scripture and when I have a close fellowship group in which I'm able to share how my faith is relating to my life and how the Scriptures are relating to my life. Those are the times when I do the best, I grow the most, and I'm most comfortable in my walk with life and with Christ.
Great. So you see yourself as trying to follow Jesus Christ and do what he would want you to do, but yet we talked earlier a little bit about the idolatry of career that seems to either tempt maybe Christians from being totally sold out to the Lord or keeping non-Christians from considering faith.
Yes. Idolatry, especially career idolatry, is a real difficult problem for me, and I see it as a problem for many Christians on campuses like Berkeley, where the competitive nature of the academic environment is extraordinary. You have to understand, Glenn, that everything I do is constantly being measured. So every paper, it's not enough. Every research paper, it's not enough to publish. Is it published in the number one journal? It's not enough to win a research grant. Is it a research grant that's more than anyone else's? And these pressures are on me all the time. And as a result, it's a constant battle having multiple icons on the altar. And it's very important for me to episodically wipe them clean and make sure that the cross remains on my altar. It's a difficult balance sometimes because this is an institution, this is an environment where career and success are everything, and that can be a challenge. And I lose focus occasionally and put too many other things on the altar. And maybe some of your listeners have that problem as well.
And I'm sure that's a common struggle in a variety of ways. You're also a family man, and I think you told me that you're the dean of the department right now. Is that correct?
Actually, I'm a half-time dean campus-wide, and I'm responsible for issuing the letter grades for all departments on campus. I run the review program for the whole campus, which is a delicate position, of course, because whenever I show up at a department's door, it's not somebody they want to see. Speaking of the competitive nature of the university, I'm the one responsible for the program that grades departments. And that's been an exciting challenge. And, of course, I also have a family. I'm married. I have four children ranging in age from 11 to 23.
And so how do you balance that? Does your family obligations, do they get met? Do you find that it's because of the career that you have is pressure against having family time?
That's a very, very difficult problem in my life, is balancing the needs of the profession versus the needs of my family. When I won the Distinguished Teaching Award, I was asked to give a speech, and in that speech, I particularly spoke to my family, and I said that one of the most difficult aspects of being a professor is being disengaged emotionally and intellectually from my family, even if I have the time to be with them. And I'm sure in the ministry, you're probably aware of this as well. It's easy to be with someone and not really with them.
Exactly.
And that's a problem I face. And no matter how much I orchestrate my time with my family, it's got to be the right kind of time. And that's another place where prayer can be a very effective tool for me to keep myself balanced. When I come into this office, usually early in the morning, I have to remember my family in prayer and keep their needs and issues in front of me so that when I get home, I'm able to be a good father and a husband. And do I think I'm a good father and husband? I think so, but they get short shrift sometimes, no doubt about it.
Well, certainly is a blessing to hear of your involvement here at the University of California at Berkeley, affectionately known as Cal, and having been an alumni here, knowing some of the environment that you face, and yet standing up for the light of Jesus Christ. My guest has been Jeff Rimer, professor of chemical engineering, and thank you for joining us, Jeff.
It's great to be with you.
You have been listening to the Lion's Den University Reports. If you would like more information about the Christian life or would like to contact the Lion's Den or one of the guests, please write us at the Lion's Den, Post Office Box 226, Mifflinburg, Pennsylvania, 17844, or email ltcldur@yahoo.com.